Welcome back to the Dirt Shed Show. This week we are talking about will enduro bikes exist in the future, plus all your usual favourites. Welcome back, everyone. Nice to have you in the set, Owen.
Yeah, I know. A rare visitor to these Dirt Shed shows.
I know. We had Adam over from Tech last week.
Really?
Now you in this week. It's like Tech special every week. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Ride my bike a bit. Yeah. It's a bit soggy out there, but yeah, it's good.
Really,
yeah, it's good fun.
So, I was looking. Recently, I saw that Neil's been riding the new Orbea Rallon RS smart bike, which they claim is the mountain bike of the future.
They do, yeah.
So basically what this is Orbea released their Rallon in what they call their RS model. So it's got a TQ 40 newton meter motor in it, which gives you up to 200 watts of assistance, but that's if you put in sort of quite a lot of assistance. So Neil sort of claimed it would be more around 70 to 80 watts of assistance. And their sort of USP of it, I guess, is that it climbs like an XC bike, but you can still descend like you're on an enduro bike. But we sort of had a discussion, really, with like the rise in e-bikes out on the trails and sort of long-travel enduro bike e-bikes. Is the genre of long-travel trail and enduro bikes still going to exist in the future? What do you think, Owen?
I mean, it's a real controversial topic because I know people get quite heated about e-bikes and we are talking about pedal-assist e-bikes, to be really clear, because a lot of people go, oh, it's a cheater bike. No, you have to pedal an e-bike.
No throttles.
No, it's not an e-motorbike. Jonesy's done an amazing video on those bikes and the kind of like the power that they have compared to even the most powerful of e-pedal-X. So they are really different. But yeah, it is a really interesting topic in the fact that for so long in the mountain bikes, we've had cross-country, we've had enduro, we've had trail bikes that sort of fit in between these two sort of touch points, and downhill are sort of a little separate world. And you've always had this variety of bikes. And now e-bikes have sort of come onto the scene and developed and grown and grown and grown. And there's even variety there. You know, you've got lighter ones, you've got short travel ones, you've got longer travel ones. But to sort of rejoin that point you made about, does it mean that enduro bikes are, going to disappear? It's a really tricky thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because enduro racing is for a select few.
Yeah.
That select few is shrinking year on year, just I guess because the way that the racing is falling and maybe downhill seems more exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it could be a very real trend.
And is this because like a 150, 160 mil trail bike is just so capable now that we don't need anything more? Or is it because like enduro bikes with, you know, if you run downhill casing tyres on them, there is, like you say, such a niche of people who actually want to pedal around what is like a really hard to pedal bike for the most part, I guess. Like why is enduro bikes as sort of a genre of bike becoming less popular?
I mean, it's a good one. It's a good question. Let me think. I think if we think about where enduro started, which we think back to Tracy Moji, she was winning on, well, a 2x chainring set. Enduro's got a long history of this in-betweeny sport. And it very quickly evolved to the bikes being sort of 150, 160-ish, where even with the heavier tyres, but because it was a short travel fork and what you were hitting with that much travel, the bikes could be pretty light.
Yeah.
Now we've kind of moved on and racing has progressed. So effectively they're hitting, you know, downhill runs almost unsighted. That some of them, they'll have ridden the tracks before.
And they just have to pedal back up.
and winch themselves back up. But it is that thing of the people that potentially would have bought that bike that you could do winch and plummet riding. Well, you can get a really nice experience on an e-bike, which is similar, and you can have a much more engaging climb, because I think that's something that is easily missed. A lot of these long travel e-bikes are amazing at climbing and techie, gnarly stuff that really tests not only your lungs and legs, but also your grey matter and how you're going to get up there. So it does feel like enduro racing, because it didn't have like a travel limiter, has almost the super enduro size. It's sort of, I don't know, evolved its out side of its own existence in terms of what do normal people actually ride. And maybe the other problem is that shorter travel bikes, do we dare say down country? Do we just say short travel trail? They've become so capable.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's like all genres of bikes have almost beefed up. So when I was racing cross country, originally we had 32 mil stanchion forks.
Yeah.
Now all XC bikes are 34. Trail bikes used to have 34 stanchion forks. Now they have 36s. So it's almost like every discipline of bike has become a lot more beefed up, a lot more capable. So previously, your like all-day trail bike that you might do a big lap around a trail centre was a 34mm stanchion bike that wasn't mega capable. These like genre of 150mm bikes now have 36mm stanchions on, big, really capable four-pot brakes. Yeah, it almost makes you think, if your bike's that capable but it's still so good at pedaling, super enduro bikes, do you need, unless you're literally, like you say, riding pretty much glorified downhill runs, do you need to step up?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I guess there's parallels between downhill racing. At least in the UK, we had a really thriving downhill race scene. And one of the only ways to access lots of the tracks with an uplift and you know, timed runs the way down, the only real way to do that was to enter a race and actually be a downhiller. But then bike parks opened, then Strava really kind of like pushed on. And I guess there's an argument there that that helped sort of set in a bit of a slowing of how popular downhill is and was.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not popular. It's still loads of people go. There's still a keenness for people to race. But I know that there's problems with some of the races in terms of not having enough numbers. And that's because, you know, if you're paying to ride on a weekend, do you want to have limitations of how many laps you get in because you've got to qualify, maybe you don't qualify, or you go to a trail centre and you get all the laps in that you want? I do find it quite fun that some people do point the finger at e-bikes and go, oh, it's cheating.
Yeah.
But don't necessarily have the same conviction to say that going to bike park, whether that's a gondola or an uplift, is cheating.
It's not
as well,
cheating. Which, I think it's interesting as well, because when we've got motors like the TQ40 now, that you can put in a system like the Rallon, and they don't change the overall ride characteristics of that bike, it still feels like the standard Rallon. It's like, if you've got a big 180mm bike, why wouldn't you just put a TQ40 motor in it? Because it doesn't compromise the ride feel. It makes it pedal much better. It's like, you'd be dumb almost not to put a TQ40 motor in it.
It is interesting, and I think that's, again, where this sort of e-bike, not necessarily takeover, but the consolidation of longer travel being an e-bike place. And I don't think it will, like, I don't think those bikes will go away, but I think there's going to be more development in the EMTB space. Because you're right, like, if you're going to aim for that market of winching up, pedaling down or pedaling up, why wouldn't you go for that space?
Yeah.
Obviously, bike pricing is there. We're not saying this is going to be a takeover. There's still going to be loads of bikes that are great. Maybe they're not going to be longer travel ones at a cheaper price, though.
Yeah, let us know down below, guys. We're really interested to see what you guys think. Do you think a 150, 160mm bike is plenty of travel? Or are you a firm believer that these super enduro bikes are still great? And do you think the future of bikes will all be with motors and batteries in? Let us know down in the comments below. It's now time to announce the winners of our Topeak competition. So one lucky person has won a Prep Station team issue tool set, and two lucky people have won the Prep Stand team issue. Winners are on screen now. Well done, guys. We will be in contact to let you know what you've won.
Enjoy.
It is now time for hacks.
No,
what?
It's not. I've stolen them. Yep.
What, you tech guys coming on our show stealing our...
Yeah, basically. I mean, it was a tech thing all along. Hacks and Bodges was a tech thing, and now it's coming back to its rightful home on tech. So if you've got hacks and bodges, keep sending them in. You'll just see them now on tech on a new show where we'll do stuff like hacks and bodges. It's going to be loads better because we'll actually talk about the hack and the bodge and how to do it properly. So it's a proper place for it. So yeah, we've stolen it.
Okay, sweet. Okay, it's time for things we like this week, and I'm going to kick it off with something controversial, Owen.
Football?
No.
Oh, good, okay.
White shorts?
No.
What do you think to them? So, Mondraker XC Team have released their new kit for 2026, and they're sporting some rather jazzy white shorts. Now, I do like a white short if you're like world champion, but for mountain biking, I'm not sure I can see this working.
It's not to my taste, but I can tell you an embarrassing story.
Go on.
I got some red, they were kind of like three-quarter length tights. In that in itself is kind of like, it's a bad look. Yeah. But at the time, it was sort of like...
I think I know the manufacturer that made these red tights.
I mean, they were really comfy. The chamois was quite slim, which I preferred. It was really nice. It was like a Roubaix fleecy fabric.
Yeah, no, I know the tights.
I thought it was great. Until... I'd put them on, I'd worn them for a couple of rides, and for some reason I bent down to pick something up and just caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror and realised, unfortunately, the fabric was not quite as sort of dense as I thought it was. So effectively, I mean, hopefully these white shorts are really dense.
Yeah.
There's no kind of like stretch or effect that could happen when you stretch some lighter materials.
Well, that is the problem with white shorts. When they get wet, they go see-through. Have you ever sat on someone's wheel on a group ride and their shorts are a little bit plucked and the lycra's wearing out and you're like,
no,
mate, get some new shorts.
No. Look, I mean, the bikes look great.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sold on the kit, but you know what? It's a bold look. We'll recognise them.
Go on, bring the vibe up a bit, Owen. What else have you liked?
I have really, really liked Danger Home. He's got another bike. And initially, you kind of look, oh, it's like another XC, sort of like cross-country build, sort of platform that's been around a while.
It's got some trick bits on it, hasn't it?
It's got loads of Danger Home touches, so little extra carbon bits here. Then you kind of look at the shifter pod, and that's different. So it's one of those ones where I think I'll dive into more details and see even more cool stuff. So I think that's good.
Yeah, like that. Every photo you look through, there's something else that is really unique.
Yeah.
I bet that costs a pretty penny.
I mean, it's a Danger Home build. I mean, some of the stuff is good value, so, you know.
And then lastly, from me, we've got one which is just absolutely bonkers. So this is like, I've not seen this ski discipline before. It's like
called moguls.
Moguls, but do they always do mogul slalom? But why is there a massive booter halfway?
No, but moguls has the booter.
Yeah.
It's got three booters in it. There's like star, or maybe it's two booters.
Yeah, and then
it's bonkers.
The guy is called Daichi Hara, and he just decides mid-final run, I'll just try a double backflip. I don't know how he hasn't, like, snapped his legs in half. Just completely lands on the backside of a mogul, and, yeah, why not?
I mean, it's not really inspired me. Border Cross inspired me. I saw some racing from that on the weekend, and that looked amazing. And it reminded me, I can see by watching that, why Palmer just came in and blitzed. Because you can't pedal on a Border Cross bike, so you just have to make speed in the turns. You have to make speed pumping over obstacles. So I can see why Palmer almost won the Worlds.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't think I was born then. Sorry, Owen.
Awkward. Do you remember Palmer almost winning Worlds? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I probably was born. I was probably just about 4 years old.
Great.
Do you know what year it was?
1996.
Oh, no, I wasn't born. Right. That was things we like this week. Owen, I'm going to kick off caption contest. So, the photo last week, Rich seems to be getting done dirty recently. I mean, I don't know if he's in an airport here. We've all had that feeling when you've been in an airport for hours and hours. It's quite a disconcerting photo of Rich, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not looking at it that much, to be honest.
But first caption we have from Lance Watson, 2839. Caption contest, don't tell me they're now going to try putting drop bars on a downhill bike. That would be, knowing Rich, that would be his reaction to, if someone tried to
would
do
be,
that.
Any colour dot you like, remembering mid-jump that you set your rebound to pogo stick. Very good, yeah.
I have that sometimes.
I think that the opposite is more problematic, though.
What if it's really slow?
Yeah, because then you like compress, and then you hit the bump, and then it's like ejector seat.
Yeah, I have that sometimes because we swap bikes a lot around here from all the different presenters. I'll like borrow a bike off a presenter for a weekend and I'll just set off and I've completely forgot I've not tuned the suspension for like someone who's 20 kilos heavier than me.
Oh, I just flex there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard to be 20 kilos heavier than me, I guess, is it?
Not for me. No, easy.
Last one from SteveB_79. That face you make when the beeline is still a 30-foot drop into a rock garden.
Yeah, no thank you.
You probably need a C or a D line. What's your favourite, Owen?
Oh, do I have to pick one?
Yeah, you have to pick one and they can win a voucher.
Get some texture. Much more inclusive and nice.
No, so they can win a voucher to use in the GMBN shop.
Wait, so you've got a competition and you get prizes?
Yep.
Wow.
That's a big budget over
there. Gee, isn't it? Wow, I wonder where all the funds are going for. Well, I also think drop bars shouldn't really be on mountain bikes. So let's go with the first one.
Well done, Lance Watson. Get in touch in our DMs. You've won a prize up to the value of £50 spent in GMBN shop. This is the photo this week. Drop your captions down below.
Gee, it's an awkward photo, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking heck. It's quite embarrassing.
Okay, it's now time for the bike vault. So we're going to open it up with this one from Azelte Nivold. what bikes you got here?
BH Expert
5.0 from 2022, fitted with a dropper post and self-made mudguard. Sorry if I butchered your name pronunciation.
From memory, that is a non-drive side shot. And I'm okay with that, but I know that Rich normally gets a little bit upset about that. But for me, super nice.
Oh, and we've been tightening up the rules recently.
Nah, sod that. Bikes, they're great.
What have we got next?
We have got a 2023 nuke-proof Scout 275 V3. Lots of details here. This is from Michael Bernardino, so lots of stats. He's got an Ohlins RFX 36 fork,
cool.
XC drivetrain, but only with SLX 2-pot brakes, DC Swiss wheels, Continental rubber on there. He's got a Cross King on the back. One-up V2 dropper.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of nice stuff. Unfortunately, it does look like he's got clips on there.
Do you know where he is?
I do. He is Cathedral Rock, Scottsdale, Arizona, which is very nice.
That looks lovely.
It does, doesn't it?
Photo's good. Bike's nice. I love that classic yellow. That's super nice from me. Next up, we've got this one from Christopher Galp. What has he got?
He has got, it looks like a Session, but it's not.
No, it's a Trek Slash 8 2021 mod.
Yeah, he's modded it.
Picture is taken near the cable car above the city of...
Tromps.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
You're always good with pronunciations.
It's Norway,
69 degrees north. The Arctic Circle is at 66.5 degrees.
Is that closer or further away?
Closer, I reckon.
Ooh. I was going to say further away. But
I don't take the cable car up because it's expensive and the line is super long both summer and winter. And also, earn your turns.
Wow.
That goes with this week's topic.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. You could be kind of a rare species.
Super fun bike. Rear travel is 160, 29 front and rear wheels. That looks really cool for me.
Well, it's also said that Norway, North Norway, is generally very steep and this bike is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that the backdrop doesn't look like a big hill, but it's... soon loses its gravelty.
Yeah.
Gravelty? Yeah, it's like a new...
Gravelty?
That could be a new genre.
Is that the downhill with drop bars? Gravelty?
Yeah, gravelty.
Look out.
I might trademark that before some like brand makes their new gravelty bike.
There's a story about freeride bikes being trademarked, but we'll save that for another time.
We've had some good submissions.
That's great. Can I supervise it?
What have we got coming
Lawrence
up next?
Kronk. What a great surname.
This is a bit of me.
The sound that a crow makes is a kronk.
Is it?
Yeah. Frisco Trails, the day before Leadville 2025. Are you doing that or someone else doing that?
That's Fergus Ryan. He's training really hard at the moment.
Yeah.
Out in Tasmania.
Well, no, good on him. He's going to have to train real hard. It's not a cakewalk, that.
No.
It is real hard. So this dude, the Kronkinator, he just scraped away with a big buckle finish at 8 hours, 58 minutes and 11 seconds.
Good effort,
says
Lawrence.
A hell of a day.
Oh.
But his specialised epic hardtail, I mean, that is a rare beast.
Yeah.
But shows what you need to win at Leadville.
We like hardtails, don't we?
I do, I love them.
Yeah, I like
them.
I had one of these, but in the non-S-Works version, because I didn't have that sort of money. Well, I was a skint student at the time, but I really liked it. Really cool bike.
Yeah, very, very good hardtails.
Like, just basic, but really good.
Basic?
Well,
no.
That's not basic, because it's an S-Works.
No, but no hardtail is basic. It's great.
Do you want to ring the bell?
Yeah, super nice.
Next up, we have... very good name, Lord Nitro.
Yeah, that is a
this
great
name. This
looks
like it could be in a woodland near us, I reckon.
I wouldn't know.
Near a certain Mr. Steve Jones house is a similar
looking
woodland.
I mean, you could say that, but it's also in BC, Canada. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah. same, but different. Different trees, if you ever look at the zoom in.
Steve does often moan that he has a long commute, but not...
That's why you've been wondering. That's how he gets in those huge, huge laps. So it is a Diamondback Crimson 29er. Great. Judy 130 fork is updated, I presume the saddle, so he's got a Wilderness Trail Coda. He's got some jazzy red camouflage pedals, 2.4 XC tyres. Looks great. I'm all for that.
Why not? Some people like bodge the front sort of mudguards to run on the back.
Why not?
You're a big mudguard fan.
I love a fender. So yeah, super nice.
God, we're being generous today, but we're not generous because they are all good bikes. Last but not least, we have this one from Stuart Tierney. He has Avo, which I presume is Arvo, which is afternoon. See, I'm...
Arvo Coast Ride.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like avocado.
Yeah,
I so it's like a
when
toast.
I read that, I read it as Avo. So maybe it's avocado and toast after you ride. Let us know, Stuart. Got a bonus... since you've got half day off work, I imagine it's not avocado and toast.
Yeah. You got the Arvo. So
Aussie. Out on for an Avo ride, as you say, on the Southwest Coast Path here in Cornwall on my Nukeproof Reactor 290C.
Love a Nukeproof, and that one looks very nice. I've got to say, just a kind of word of caution is think how much travel your fork has got, and then think of the gap between your fork and your front tyre.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd probably double check, but maybe switch the location of a little pouch to inside the frame, not on the bottom, because I feel like...
Surely he's tested that. I mean, the bike looks in unbelievable nick, so it could
it
be
does,
quite new.
It's one of those ones where if you test it and you get to max travel, the brake goes on real quick. Just from experience. Anyway, super nice.
That is the Bike Vault for this week. Send in your submissions. We love them.
That was great. I love that. I might try and steal that for the tech as well.
It's nearly time to end the show, Owen.
Already?
Already.
Gee, we've sped through. It's been great fun. What have we got?
It's time for what's coming up on the channel this week.
But on tech? Oh, we've got loads of stuff. We've got like an ode to hardtails. Mm-hmm. And we've got another really great in-depth video as well.
Since this is a GMBN, we should probably talk about what's coming up on GMBN. But the problem is, quite a lot of these videos are a bit secret, aren't they?
I think they are.
So, yeah. Rich has been out in another country testing a brand new bike from Propane. That is coming out on Thursday.
We can talk about that one, but the other I don't think we can talk about it.
And on a Sunday...
We'll get tasered.
Yeah, we can't say anything.
No. But there's a really good video coming out, so obviously tune
into
it.
It's a big video, is all I can say.
Oh.
But thank you for joining me.
Yeah, and if you think our thoughts about the potential extinction of Super Enduro is wrong or right, do join in the debate down in the comments. And if you do like this, and you do like the channel, don't forget to like and subscribe, because it makes a really big difference.
Thank you for joining me, Owen. Been a pleasure to have you in. See you next one.